Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode, which was recorded at Waterstones Piccadilly, where Mum and I did a Q&A with the lovely Fiona Lindsay on the day that our book launched, Table Manners, the Cookbook.
So for those that couldn't get tickets,
yeah,
they went in an hour,
like
Jessie.
Hot cakes.
Yeah, they went in an hour. So
you're loving this selling
love
out.
That, selling out. Love selling out.
How's really that feeling?
Feels good.
Yeah.
It was such a lovely audience.
Yeah,
so
lovely questions.
Warm and lovely.
It's questions and a conversation between us and Fiona, but also the audience members. So thanks for all the lovely questions. Thank you for turning up on a really rotten evening.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, such a pleasure to meet you all. So enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. It's lovely to see so many of you here on such a miserable night. But I'm sure we're going to have a very tasty and very nourishing conversation. I've done a lot of work in theatre, and as I was thinking about this evening, I was thinking about Shakespeare. And there's a quote at the beginning of Twelfth Night. I'm sure you all know it. If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it. When I was at the RSC many years ago, I used to hear that a lot. I saw that play a lot. And in my head all the time, that phrase flipped to, if food be the music of love, eat on, give me excess of it. And I don't know why, but it always did that. Several other quotes did the same. They used to flip. But that one stuck with me. Anyway, earlier today, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about food and music and love. And what a potent and seductive combination those three things are. And the fact that our guests have that in dollops. It oozes through their DNA. In 2017, as you all know, they launched a podcast. Bring some friends over, make some food, have some chat, eat the food, have some chat. A recipe for success. And here we are in 2020, and they have just launched today their first book, and in fact their first audiobook as well. A mother and daughter combination who have sort of struck gold with this particular podcast, based very much on their relationship. They're philosophers in many ways, they're flavorists, of course, they're gastronomes, and they are both utterly gorgeous. Please give a warm welcome to mother and daughter Lenny and Jessie Ware. You've got the throne. It's perfect.
I didn't think the configuration was going to be like this, darling.
Sorry. Are you comfortable, Lenny?
I'm very comfy, thank you.
Jessie, are you comfortable?
I'm comfy, but should I
there?
Be on your level? I don't know.
No, darling.
You sure?
I
yeah,
feel
are you
happy
sure?
on my own level.
Okay. It's going to continue like this, I think. Very warm welcome to this, the launch of your first ever book.
Thank you.
How are you feeling today,
Mum?
Really excited and happy and proud.
That's wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. And it's not just the launch of the book, it's the launch, I believe, of your audio book as well. You're making an audio book of the cookbook.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
which is quite unusual. It's a first for audiobooks, isn't it?
I believe we are the first food podcast that has been made into an audiobook, but correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I think that is the first, so... With that, thank you, pioneers of the podcasting world, food podcasting world. It's all the kind of memoir and writing in the book, along with Mum and I in the foulest mood with each other, recording 6 recipes. And so God bless our editor, Alice, because hopefully made it. I couldn't actually bear to listen to it because we wanted to kill each other so much that day. So, yeah, go and listen to see if you can hear the tension.
Of course, what I want to ask is why you're in the bad mood. But I know if we do that, we won't get onto the things that I really want going to ask you that at all. But I do want to sort of ask you about the sort of lead up to this moment, because you were all over in loads of publications over the weekend, and you were on the front cover of You magazine.
I have to say, that was me taking one for the team. If you can see, I'm the one that's got the trifle in her mouth. And Mum is there looking like this. What did you say to them, Mum?
I said to the photographer, if I look old or fat, I will come and get you. So I did okay, I think, out of that.
So, Lenny, just what does it feel like suddenly? I know you've been doing it since 2017, this podcast, but what does it feel like to suddenly be in the sort of spotlight? And your daughter has been for many years, but for you to suddenly be in the spotlight and be recognised for your voice and for your face?
It feels strange. It's not the most comfortable place for me to be honest. I mean, it's fine when we do the podcast. Is there an echo coming back? Because I can hear it echoing.
No.
Reverb.
It's okay.
Reverb, okay. Is that good? Do I need that for my voice?
Your voice sounds really beautiful.
Okay, thank you. I think that it's not my most comfortable place, but of course, I've enjoyed doing the podcast so much and doing the cookbook. It's been fantastic experience.
And what about you, for you, Jessie, having your mum suddenly side by side and equally sort of getting the attention?
I mean, look, we all know why you're all here. And it's not for me. And that is why I shouldn't be on the big stool. But no, I think I've always been incredibly proud of my mum, and the fact that I wanted to include her in this podcast just shows, like, everyone should know Lenny, and everyone now does, including bartenders in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
And people on the tube and people in the sea.
Yeah, I read that you were on holiday in Greece and you were just chatting away and someone came up to you because they heard your voice. And equally, on the tube recently, you were saying something and someone said, because you have got a very distinctive voice, actually.
Have I?
Yeah.
Okay. Jessie said it's my whinging voice.
Your whinging voice. I actually think you're going to be doing voiceovers soon.
Do you think?
I do, yeah.
We'll get you an agent. But no, what happened? Didn't it happen the other day? Where were we the other day?
I don't know. Oh,
we were
I was in the loo.
Gizzy Erskine's new restaurant.
And I went to the loo and I said, I can't turn the taps on. Because the light, I couldn't. And she said, I'll help. Shut you not, Lenny from the podcast. I said, yeah.
So that's like 6 words that she had to say. Already, she's iconic. So
I love that. Lenny from the podcast. That's good. That's your new sort of strap line. Right, we are going to talk about the podcast, but I want to talk about, before we sort of get into the nitty gritty of that, I want to sort of go a little bit further back. And I think it's appropriate because it's what you really do with your guests. You talk about memory a lot, all sorts of memory.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, you know, food is, we index it to all sorts of things in the landscape of our lives. So you're a mother and daughter, and obviously a lot of your sort of food memory comes from Lenny. Mm. But I'd like to ask you, Lenny, about your food memories and your family.
So I was brought up in Manchester in a Jewish family. We always sat down for dinner every night together. My mum was a great cook. Not adventurous. I remember when she first made spaghetti bolognese, we thought we had gone wild. It was just so exciting. And she's put vinegar in her spaghetti bolognese and it just livened it up, or livened the tomatoes up.
What kind of, not balsamic, it would have been like
no,
malt.
It would have been malt vinegar.
Yeah, gosh.
But we didn't know about balsamic then, darling. But I put balsamic in mine.
Yeah, me too.
And food was always very important. But we always ate the same thing every day of the week. So I knew on Monday we'd be having some sort of pie. On Thursday, it was always chopped and fried fish balls that my mum made. Friday was always proper Friday night dinner. Saturday was always cold food. And Sunday was always from the delicatessen to put whatever we could in bagels. So it was quite predictable, but we loved food. We used to go out to eat a lot, for dinner a lot. And so I think food was a really important part of our family life. I mean, for me, cooking is very important, feeding. I think, I think it's the same for you, isn't it, now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're big feeders, yeah. Never knowingly under cater, that's...
Never knowingly under cater. And also, I was something that made me laugh. You said you don't share. And I think that's an interesting thing,
People say I don't share. I think I do share.
He doesn't share.
I just get to the food before them. But, like, you know.
Do you like people picking off your plate?
I don't care. As long as I am okay and I'm eating more than everyone else, it's cool.
No, it's hopeless. Never go for tapas with Jessie because she's eating it all before you get down to it.
You mentioned spaghetti bolognese, and I'm just wondering, is that one of your big food memories?
Yeah, but not for the right reasons.
Go on.
Mum used to do spaghetti bolognese in the pressure cooker.
No, not always. Only when I was under pressure.
This is how I remember it.
And it was too watery.
It was very watery. It was not your best.
But I know.
And then you did it accidentally with lamb.
Yeah.
In Wales, in the chalet that we used to have.
And what happened?
It was oily and delicious. And okay. I'll never forget it. I think we were like 10 and it was like...
Okay.
It was... Easter holidays, and I was like, what is this divine thing? And like, kept on, it was delicious, even though it was.
And now I'm doing it with vegetarian alternatives to meat. And I'm doing all right, aren't I?
Yeah.
Well, we'll come to your sort of exploration into the sort of vegetarian and vegan world. But why do you think you remember food so clearly, Jessie?
Because I was a greedy cow.
Right.
Yeah. Like Mum said, and I've written about it in the book, that I came out hungry, like starving and greedy. And it's just kind of lived with me ever since. Mm. And so, I don't know, I think probably because Mum also cooked so well. I felt like we used to go out for, like, even if it was Buona Sera on a Sunday.
We went out a lot.
But it was like going, it wasn't fancy places. It was like going to this pizza restaurant on Northcote Road, or where else would we go? Our friends had Orms, which I remember the crinkle chips that we used to have. And I remember being way past my bedtime and eating those crinkle chips that you can't really find anywhere anymore. Mm. This was the 80s, and us being there, and it was Orms Wine Bar, and it felt really exciting being there. But I don't know. Yeah, we went out, I think because I loved food so much, but also because I think my mum was such a great cook.
So you're describing there sort of your childhood and the sort of the richness of the culinary experience.
Yeah.
Are you trying to now sort of do that with your own young family?
I'm trying. It's hard when all they want is pizza and
beige food, really. They
It's carbs. It's not very... when I was weaning them, they would eat anything. So it would be like, I'd be making amazing kind of... I don't know, I was putting everything, whether it was dals or kind of... I mean, the roasted pumpkin risotto for my... 5-month-old, like, it was ridiculous. Actually, probably wasn't 5 months because you're not allowed to do whatever. It was like, whatever, it was the right time. With goat's cheese and rosemary and like, and now they literally would look at me and be like, are you kidding? I'm not fucking eating that shit. So, it's difficult at the moment, but I believe in them. And we had Nigella Lawson on, and she said she was a really fussy eater when she was younger. So that's what I just maintain, that my daughter may be slightly fussy. But it's funny because my daughter and my son will always eat my mum's food, which I know is great, but I feel like I'm a good cook too. But like last night you did chicken roast.
Yeah, but I avoid
quinoa. And he was just like there.
But I just avoid quinoa, darling, and things like
that. I haven't cooked quinoa in a good year because I've been living with you, yeah. So.
Food and family, they sort of feel like they go together for you. And one of the things that comes across in the podcast, and also it's very evident in the book, which is a beautiful piece of art, actually, it's so well produced, is eating at a table. Did you always eat at a table? How important is the eating of food at table?
I remember always eating at the table, and I think I remember some of my friends finding that quite strange, especially my husband, who was my boyfriend when we were 18. You know, I'd be like, do you want to come over for dinner? And he'd have to, not have to, but like, he'd be sitting with my mum and her friends and us, and he used to eat his food in his room and play PlayStation and smoke weed. So, just, I don't know, it was the way we finished our day. And even if the conversation was fraught, we'd be eating together and having that conversation. And it was incredibly important. And I always remember it. You know, my mum worked, but there was always cooked food. And I found it quite exciting when we'd have like chicken Kiev sometimes, but it was quite rare.
You mentioned, Lenny, when you were growing up, you knew what you were going to have and every day of the week. And I remember that actually growing up as well. My mum worked and we had the same food each, you know, regular basis. Wednesdays were, you know, soup and pudding, etc. Yeah. Did you carry on that tradition when you were bringing up your children?
No.
So what did you do? Because you were working and busy.
Yeah, I worked. I prepared well, I think. And so I would have cooked something in the morning, or prepared something in the morning that we would eat in the evening, so if it was a casserole. But I always knew what I was going to cook and had thought about it early in, you know, the day before probably. I still think about food all the time. You know, I'm finishing my mouthful of lunch, thinking what I'm going to have for my supper.
And it's, what are you thinking about it because you're looking forward to the actual prep? Because some people love the preparation.
No.
Okay. That's blunt. It's the eating.
Yeah.
Or is it the occasion?
I love the occasion of eating.
Yeah.
And I love people coming over.
Yeah.
And I love it when we have lots of people over. And in fact, because we've been doing the podcast and that's been, and Jessie's been living with me for the last 6 months, I think I haven't done as much entertaining since we've been doing the podcast.
Even though like we have like two guests every week.
Yes.
I won't forget. And I think I talked about it on one of the podcasts. You've probably heard this, but like there was this moment where we'd had guests, but Mum had her proper dinner party on the Saturday, and you were being amazing. And I was like a teenager up in my room, coming down to say hi and trying to steal some food and going out, like, because when you had dinner parties, it was like, that was exciting. When I was young, I did want to know who was there, what she was cooking. But honestly, the pride and the joy that was radiating compared to when you're prepping for a famous...
I don't think that people have dinner parties as much anymore.
I don't know, one of the things, I mean, I read the book and I found myself doing two things. I felt like I was eating something really good almost on every single page, but I also sort of felt really ashamed of myself because I'm not doing any entertaining at all.
Yeah.
And actually the getting people around and just getting all mucked in and, you know, and not having, it's not posh, it's just getting stuck in. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've all become food critics and we watch MasterChef and we want to up our game and make fantastic food, and then someone said, oh, you're such a good cook, so next time they come, you want it even to be better. But I think we should just make something that we can all share and just enjoy. And I hope that the cookbook really is the essence of being just simply good cooking, which doesn't take masses of time.
So, Jessie, can you describe, roll back a few years, or even just now, because you are living with your mum, she's making food in the kitchen, you're about to have a big family meal.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere like?
Fraught.
What was the atmosphere like?
Fraught. I'd be like waiting around because I was excited about the food coming. So I'd be like, Mum, do you want any help? And I remember like you potentially letting me do a bechamel sauce and then, or like a white sauce, maybe it was for leeks for a roast at the weekend. And I'd try and then she'd be like, you're doing it, go on! And take it. And so I learned to cook through her not letting me cook and just watching her. I've learned, but I've also learned, all my friends find it really annoying when I cook them dinner because I always do, well, they think too many dishes. They always seem to do it quite simplified. So they'll just do like a shepherd's pie and it will be really nice and they'll do like one side, whereas I would have like 10,000 sides and two mains and, you know, three puds. And that is because my mum would be doing that and she'd just be like spinning plates and doing it. And it would all be, it didn't look effortless, but she'd get it done and it all, as soon as people, and she'd be exhausted by the time people came, but that's what it was like.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the book, actually. There's a section called Effortless, and then it goes into effort. Have you found, Lenny, as you've gone on, that actually you're not putting in less effort, but you're changing how you do it?
I think I've learnt a lot from Jessie because she's quite an innovative cook, and so is my son. I mean, they will just toss things in and be much more adventurous. I'm much better on classic things that I know what I'm doing. So I've learnt a lot from her, and I made a proper curry from scratch the other week, the prawn curry I made.
That was really good.
And it was really good, and that was being much more adventurous the way I made it. I think I have learnt as I've gone on, but I'm very interested in food, so some of the recipes are things that we've eaten that we couldn't find a recipe for, and we've kind of made it up or managed to concoct it together, having eaten it somewhere. So some of the Greek things, like the Boyardi eggs, I'm not really sure how you make them, but that's what it tastes like. And so we managed to get it sorted somehow.
Yeah, you must have a fantastic palate then to do that.
Eat
a lot of food, or you eat a lot of food. When you eat out together, just the two of you, not other family members, no children, just the two of you, and you go into a restaurant and you both take up a menu and look at it, what's that like between you?
I think we've done that for ages.
We haven't done it for ages, but I remember when we did it, I'm not going to name the restaurant, but it was a local restaurant. And I really felt like we thought we were Grace Dent and Jay Rayner.
Yeah.
We were literally like, right, let's see what we've got here. Okay, we'll have one of them. We weren't rude to the staff at all, but like we had it and we were tasting it and we were like, John Tyrone and Greg Willis. We were like, this could do with something. Yeah. I think we thought we were kind of pretty big time. And I don't know why it was so. I think we were also thinking about what we were doing for the cookbook, so we're like slightly obsessed with flavour and taste and how things can work. So yeah, it was actually rather unpleasant. Yeah. I think
we can relax now.
No, I really want to take Mum to Raymond Blanc's
Le Manoir.
So it's impossible to get a table there, but like
ring him up, darling. Yeah.
Yes, because you've had him on your podcast.
Well, we did, and do you know what? He couldn't resist So Jessie said, we're going to make fish, what was it, halibut, in a wild garlic. I said, where are we going to get wild garlic from?
No, garlic was in.
Yeah, but season. I didn't realise. I thought I was going to have to go foraging Brixton, Loughborough Junction or somewhere. So we got wild garlic from Ocado, I think, and I made this effume or whatever it is. And I was doing the fish. He actually couldn't stay on his stool, could he? He actually came over.
Yeah, but Mum, the best thing about this story is the fact that, like, Raymond Blanc's all about, you know, sustainable eating and seasonal eating.
Oh, I know, but...
And it was like, we were supposed to have girolles or however
couldn't get girolles.
No, so Mum, like, had ones
mushrooms
from
Korea.
South Korea. And I was like, oh, God, this doesn't...
Yeah, no carbon footprint there. Yeah. Or coronavirus.
He was helping me, and he said, I can tell you I'm a very good cook. So I said, oh, Raymond, I said, is there a little opening for me at Le Manoir? He said, I also tell you, do not take orders. So I said, how can you tell?
That's nice. What is your kitchen like then, Lenny? I'd like to describe it. Describe the colours.
It's quite a big kitchen. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's all cream. I had it done about 4 years ago. Nice black marble.
You copied
surfaces.
Your best friend Susan in Manchester.
No, I didn't.
It's very white.
No, I did not. She wouldn't have a black surface. So it's black granite and cream cupboards.
Is it messy? Do you tidy up as you go along?
It is at the moment, but when Jessie moves out, it will be back to its pristine state.
I'm not the problem with the cupboards. Sam is the problem with the cupboards. Sam, a lot of vegan protein.
Yeah.
Right. And
the R is hidden everywhere. Coffee paraphernalia and vegan protein.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of baby food around as well.
Yeah.
bottles and things.
So yeah. when they all go, your kitchen will be back to this show kitchen.
It's sad, yeah.
And you're gonna miss get us. My zen back. Yeah.
Do you think though? I mean, which of you is the messier of the cooks?
Me.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember my grandma always saying, a good cook is someone that tidies up as they cook and as they go along. And I try and do that, but it's just sometimes quite hard. But every time I try and cook, I'm like, right, I'm going to be like this. And then, yeah, it just
Darling, in your head, are you a tidy person?
No, I'm so I'm very, very messy, verging on slob. And yeah. It drives mum mad. Yeah.
So when you're cooking together, does that cause a lot of friction? Between yes. you.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, like we had my son's birthday at the weekend and we had all our different stations but we kept on colliding. It was me, Alex and mum because I was worried that my Victoria sponge was like so flat and stupid and was like the most embarrassing birthday cake ever. So we made two of them three of them we made.
Three.
And then Alex did the brownies because, anyway, and we were all like colliding. It was like Mrs. Wobbles, what's it? What's that book?
Mrs. Wobble the Week.
Yeah, it was like that. We were kind of all like just colliding into each other and we should have been on roller skates.
You've mentioned Alex twice now, so that's Dr. Alex,
he's
your
here.
Brother. He's here in the audience.
Is he?
So
any
he's right at the back.
In the audience?
Yeah.
Jessica.
Oh. But you credit him very beautifully and generously.
Actually, put your hands up, though.
There you go.
Hi.
Front row, spare chair. Yeah.
He's front row though, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You credit Alex with being, you know, laying a table beautifully. I'd like to know more about that, and also about being probably better at baking than either of you, puddings and cakes.
Yes, I can confirm that because I have made some triple threat brownies and. They're overdone, but they'll taste fine.
Yeah.
So I apologise. Alex saw them as they came out of the oven because I have lots of other things to do. I love you guys and I appreciate you being here so much, but I had lots of other things to do as well today. But obviously, I give them to you with love. And they're overdone, and I'm sorry, but they're going to taste slightly the same. And Alex should have fucking done them.
So, what about the table laying? Because that's very important, isn't it? The laying of a table.
Well, even for the party at the weekend, I saw the touch. He'd come in and sorted it all out and it looked beautiful. Yeah, no, Alex can make a table look
gorgeous.
Yeah,
you kind of queer-eyed it, like, at the end.
Yeah.
It was like he let all the, like, mayhem happen and then he went, right, OK, crudités, let's go.
Yeah, he's the Anthony of
Clapham. Yeah,
it is like theatre, isn't it? The pulling together of a great occasion, a great culinary occasion.
Yeah.
And the table laying is the set design.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I always love those very arty people that have beautiful bowls and none of their crockery matches, you know. When we started doing the podcast, I thought, I'm not having Jay Rayner with a mixture of Tesco plates. So I bought all new white china, which Jessie thinks is terrible. And she said, where's all the nice old plates? Where have they all gone with the spots on? I just threw them out because...
For Jay Rayner.
Yeah. And I just thought, he's a food critic. He can't come to my house and have odd plates.
That's a great quote for Jay Rayner.
Yeah.
One of the things that comes across, and I said this earlier when we were talking, very strongly in the podcast and very much so in the book as well, is it feels like it's a love story about food, but also a love story to family too. Mm. So food and love, can you talk a little bit about that? You mentioned in the book meetings, going to Sam's house for the first time, and a meal wasn't prepared, but you did sort of have to observe someone eating.
Yeah, so I have been with my husband for a very long time, and... There's a really lovely recipe, this pistachio-crusted rack of lamb. And, you know, I had lots to say about rack of lamb, but it brought me back to thinking about when I met Sam and I went for this first date. And I went over to his house. No, it was my third date. And annoyingly, it was on Valentine's Day, which is quite high pressure when you're 18. And a virgin, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's really cute. And oh, is he gonna think that if he's inviting me around to his house, will I have to have sex with him?
Jessica!
I'm sorry!
My God!
I know, you're oversharing now.
Sorry. We'll call it in the book, I guess. So, like, yeah, anyway. Well, now you want to read it, don't you?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
We didn't have sex. And I, like, lugged, like, half a whole bottle of amaretto before I got there that I got from Felix White for my birthday present for my 18th. Did anybody else give alcohol to each other when you were 18? It was like, hey, welcome to the club. Like, anyway, so I was a bit drunk and nervous, and then I hadn't eaten because I was nervous and I didn't know whether he was, like, going to cook. Anyway, as Sam does when he's at his parents' house, I said hi to his parents, and then I was led upstairs to his room, and he was like, do you want to get Domino's? And I was like, I love Domino's. And I couldn't eat it. I let him eat it because I was so scared I was going to get something in my tooth or, like, taste of the garlic dip. And it was a very stressful occasion, denying myself Domino's. And anyway, but...
It's still together.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's all about love. And then I, yeah, anyway, read the fucking thing.
Podcast. Whose idea was it to do a podcast and why?
It was mine.
Good. No.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, what did you think a podcast was?
I thought it was dolphins. I didn't know what it was at all. Just a podcast. I didn't know it was like a radio programme.
No.
I thought it was a blog, something you do online.
For the first year of us doing the podcast, I said, Mum, like, I know it's quite a lot, but thank you. And she'd be complaining about it. And then she went, it's fine, darling. I'm just helping you so you can get a really good presenting job.
Yeah.
Stop singing and touring.
Yeah, she's like, it's fine. It's just so you can be the new This Morning presenter. It's fine. So, Mum didn't know what podcast was, but I asked her. And it was my really good friend, Jamie, who said that I should do something. And I think I was slightly... I'd fallen a bit out of love with doing music solely, and I wanted a bit of an escape, and the way that I escape is through food and cooking. I love cooking. It's the time when I switch off and I don't think about anything.
So why was I doing all the cooking? If that's helping true. You with that.
Because you're better at it.
Okay.
But, so I kind of thought, how do I think of something that isn't about music? I thought it would be very... I didn't want to talk about music. I wanted to talk about food and family, things that are very important to me. And so, yeah, I thought, well, I thought I should do it in a restaurant. I kind of wanted to basically be Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon and be let's go to really nice restaurants and chat. But I thought it would be a nightmare. And then Jay Rayner did that, so there you go. I should have done it. No, I shouldn't have. And then I thought, well, I've always invited people around to my house... to my mum's house to meet my mum and be cooked for and hosted by my mum. So why don't I invite strangers to that and see how it goes? And it just worked a treat.
So you thought I was going to be in the back, having a backstage.
I did think maybe you were going to have a little more of a supporting actress role.
Yes. Yeah.
However, you are a leading lady, and everyone knows that.
So let's just give us a peek behind the scenes. So they tend to be about 40, between 40 and 55 minutes.
Yeah, not for Alice over there.
No.
They're like 2.5 hours.
Okay. So how do you get your guest? Do you ask them what they want? How do you decide what you're going to give them? How does it all work?
Well, first of all, I take a day off from my proper job now to be able to cook.
This is a proper
Otherwise,
job now.
Yeah, it is a proper job now. So we talk about,
You're an author.
Yeah, I know, darling.
And a podcaster.
Yeah. So we're having someone on tomorrow. Can we say who it is?
Yeah, fuck it. Zoe Ashton.
Who's the actress. We're very excited about because she's such a great actress and she looks really fun and interesting. So we talked about what we were going to make for her. She's not a vegan.
We are dietary requirements.
Yeah, so she's not a pescatarian like Callum Turner.
Everyone's a bloody pescatarian.
Everyone's a pescatarian. Then you ask them what their favourite meal is and they say roast beef. We say, well, we could have done that easily.
How many pescatarians are in the audience? How many vegans?
Our type of audience. So tomorrow night, we're going to do...
There are, like... 3 vegan recipes
yeah.
for you. And we're really getting, appreciate you being
and
here.
And we're getting better at it. And that's my new
the next
life
book
goal.
Is going to be
veggie.
Lenny yeah. goes green.
Lenny yeah. Plant-based Lenny, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to save the planet. Yeah.
You're not with all the fucking single-use plastic that you give my children.
No, darling.
What? Right, she got my son. Sorry, I know we're going off piece.
No, it's okay. I can get us back
so
up.
So, for my one-year-old son, for one of his presents, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't know what presents are yet. He's fine. He gets all...
Why do you think he loves me? Okay, yeah.
She was like, it's just a little something. Car keys, plastic car keys. Doesn't need them, they beep. Like, it's done. He goes, and then it's done. And Sam is so angry at you.
Oh, can I just tell you? You might complain about my plastic. We're going to have Extinction Rebellion outside our house because you leave so many bloody lights on. But with the curtains closed during the day and the lights are on, they'll be there demonstrating.
Touché,
yeah.
Sorry. No, it's fine, because I think everybody's probably having the same thought. You've done a podcast, you've done the book, you're doing your live tour soon, and you have to have a telly show, surely. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not just a present. You're going to be doing it too.
Of course you are. If the money's right.
Definitely. But we were talking about behind the scenes. That's what we're talking about. So how you check out dietary requirements.
We check out dietary requirements, and then we decide what we're going to make, and then we order it. And tomorrow I'll be cooking.
Mum, you make out that we order in. No. We
order the food.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
So then often, you know, we do either a Tesco or a Cardo, and then we've got a wonderful butcher just around the corner from me and a great fish shop, and so we order. So tomorrow I'm going to make sticky short ribs and then some potato, and then we're going to do some griddled nectarines with mascarpone I've ordered. And,
well, I wanted to try creme fraiche ice cream because I had it at... did I have it at Braun the other day? And it was
well, you
so
make
good.
It, darling. No, okay. So we decide what we're going to make and then it's planned. So if it's something you cook at the last minute, but it's quite difficult because we start the podcast maybe at 7 o'clock and we talk first and then eat. So when we had...
Scary Spice.
Yes, Scary Spice. We did a roast dinner.
She was so fucking late.
An hour and a half late.
Why was she late?
Because she's rude.
Because she's Mel B.
Gosh, she was scary.
No, who was later than her? But we forgave them. Who was later?
Nicole Scherzinger was late.
But she was really nice. So. No, and so was Mel B. Mel B was great.
Alice, they're beautifully produced podcasts because it's really difficult, isn't it? You've got chatting, you've got cutlery, you've got cooking noises and everything, and you've got eating noises. How do you balance all of that then? So you said you have all the talk before and then you eat without that.
So we try and talk before we eat and then we try and do a bit... I mean, we don't have ideal conditions for a podcast because I've got granite surface and all black. And the real my dining room's in a conservatory with glass roof. Oh, so we have to do it in the kitchen. It would be better when you move house.
Well, no, I'm having a lot of glass in my extension, so I'm slightly worried about the acoustics.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, We've been talking for 45 minutes, believe
You're
it
kidding.
Or not. Yeah,
See?
We have.
Time flies, Mom.
So we're going to now just welcome everybody else into joining in this conversation. It will go, there's some roving microphones. So how we'll do it is you put your hand up if you've got a question, keep it up so we can get the microphone to you, and then obviously speak into the mic loud and clear. Question over here at first. Brilliant.
Happy release day.
Thank you.
Thanks
for being here.
My question is, what would you serve with the lamb, with the Lebanese-style lamb? It does say here it goes with a variety of Middle Eastern vegetable dishes, side dishes. What would you...
I've got a Lebanese rice cooker, if anyone's ever seen those. So you can make this taglich, which is that crispy stuff underneath, and then you turn it out, and it comes out like a big rice cake. So I love serving it with that, but they're very hard to get hold of. You have to buy them from America or Iran or somewhere. So, no, it's a Persian rice cooker. So I would
Who
make...
Who did you get it off? Your osteopath.
My physiotherapist. Who came from Iran, and he loved me. was a lot to manipulate, you see. So I would cook it with a very nice rice dish, one of the Otto Lengi ones, you know, with rice and lentils and things like that, and then serve it with Jessie's lovely carrots with you. Yeah.
Oh, what, my pickled carrot? Pickled carrots. Yeah, so you could do that with, like, loads of salads. And then I'd say labneh, but maybe it'd be too thick. But you could just do a yoghurt drink, couldn't you?
Could do.
Otherwise, you could do, like, it wouldn't be, like, Tadlik. You could do our microwave onion rice. It's really
dead easy.
It's so easy.
But I think that's my favourite dish. I love
some toasted
Lebanese
almonds
lamb.
On the top. Job's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, another question over here.
Hello. I was wondering what the actual vibe was when David Schwimmer insulted the cake.
Oh, yeah. Like,
was it bad? Was it funny? Did you take offence? I couldn't gauge whether you were smiling or not.
We were thought that was going
to
come up.
To get a little bit of, like, Ross. So I think we were thankful. We felt like he was holding back.
Darling,
and then he just let rip at in the last, like, 5 minutes.
He was really funny.
Mum fancied him.
He was gorgeous. Yeah. He was so handsome. And I thought he was kind of serious and educated and cultured.
Do you take to your guests sometimes and think, oh, God, I have big crushes on them?
Yeah.
Yeah? So he was one. Who was another?
He was one.
Yanis from Folds.
Oh, I love Yanis from Folds.
They got so drunk together. And he's, like, very intellectual, cocky with
loved
it too.
Him.
My mum's kind
Kept
of
Kept on speaking in Greek.
Oh.
Yeah. Loved all that.
But no, we were... Where are you there? I think we were quite thankful for it because it was hysterical.
It was
We
funny.
Didn't tell Dr. Alex. He found out through another doctor on a night shift. He said, I hear your banana bread was dry this week. Sorry, what are you talking about?
Poor Alex.
We didn't want to break it to him.
And can I tell you, that recipe is delicious and it isn't dry. I don't know what happened, do you?
He left it in for 15 minutes too long because he'd just done a really long shift.
Okay.
That's what
right.
happened.
Fine.
So just don't do it.
Oh. See? The love.
Yeah. Another question, please.
What's your favourite recipe in the book and why?
You go first, Mum.
Well, I love the Lebanese lamb. Because it's so easy and so impressive. So if you get a butterflied leg of lamb and you only you marinate it, but you only have to cook it for 40 minutes and it's so impressive, I think that I love that recipe. I like all the Jewish recipes in there because I grew up with them and I'm confident.
Okay, I'm going to do like five.
Five?
That are all different. I think because it's like, so the beef tagliata I think is just so easy and really tasty and kind of, it's just, I like ones that don't take too long and feel like you've made a bit of an effort. So I love that one.
And Rocky loved that, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Russell Tovey's dog.
Dog, yeah.
What else do I love? Mum's chicken soup, I'm almost too scared to make because I don't, well also I don't need to because she makes it and it's amazing. So I'm really interested to see how you all get on with that. Bella's sherry cod is so good, and, so easy, and like is a massive, massive winner. What else do I like?
Any of the sweet things?
I really like the spinach and artichoke dip.
Yeah,
the
it
hot
is.
Spinach and artichoke dip.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like I remember eating it in Freeman's in New York. This really like dark restaurant that's lovely. They all have it. They used to have it in New York, like in the early
like noughties.
Don't know.
God, I feel old. And it's really, really lovely.
The lemon ice cream, I think.
Lemon ice cream's amazing. Turkey meatballs are really light as a feather and they're so tasty. I also really like the like midweek roast ones that we've got, like, actually they were through Alice, because we have a roast in the week. I don't know if anybody else does, but we kind of don't save it for a Sunday. And so there's just two super simple recipes. The olive tapenade one that we did for Joe Brand, shove olive tapenade and herbs de Provence under the skin and then in the cavity with some squashed garlic, and it's super easy. Or you do balsam. This one is like a game changer. Balsam cheese under the skin and in the thing. And lovely. It's like a really posh chicken Kiev.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yum. Have you all eaten? You want to now, for sure. I have another question.
I actually have a question from my boyfriend's dad. I told him I was here tonight. He said,
is it for a date?
He said, as they have had the privilege of living out that question of who would you invite for a dinner party, which dead celebrity would you both have liked to cook for?
Is it morbid?
And what would you have cooked for them? What would you? Oh, who and okay. What?
So, okay, who and what?
I know.
Why is he not here? You're so mean taking... He's obviously a huge fan.
Lenny, go, well, on. Go on, Lenny.
It would have to be Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
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 Because he's such an icon and an idol of mine. What would I cook for him? I think he'd be really easy to cook for, because I think he's so generous-spirited. So I'm not sure what I cook for him. We give him some meat.
Nice.
Sticky short ribs that you could lick your fingers afterwards.
Yeah.
Nice.
Amy Winehouse. I'd give her a proper Jewish dinner and just give her a massive cuddle, I think.
Yeah.
And Amy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's two good choices there. Question down here, we said.
What's the worst meal you have ever had?
I'll never forget getting food poisoning in Andorra.
Oh, do you remember?
Yeah, and I'd got... It was veal with cheese and ham.
Oh.
Do you remember? And it was, like, breaded.
Yeah, and you weren't well afterwards.
And I got food poisoning. That will always stay with me forever as the worst meal. What's yours?
Yeah, those meals, you know, when you end up and it's quite late... You've arrived late somewhere. I think it's when I had a boyfriend who had a house on the Isle of Arran, and I ended up in a town called Ardrossan.
Yes.
If you know Scotland...
I know that. Yeah.
You know what Ardrossan is like.
Yeah. Not glamorous.
It's not glamorous.
It's not for
and there was no ferries because the weather was terrible. Yeah. And we ended up in a hotel that the man was drunk. I had to cook breakfast for everyone the next day because he didn't get up. And people were... We were all desperate. But that night he cooked a kind of... It was kind of just a fried up everything. It was horrible. And it was just miserable. Ardrossan in the rain and wind and storm. And
did the romance last?
No.
One final question.
You always asked everyone what their last supper would be, but what would yours be?
Yeah, good question.
So mine would be mum's chicken soup with matzo balls at the beginning, and I'd also have a side of her chicken liver pasta. Chopped liver, we call it, with matzo, and I'd crack the matzo into the soup and then also have it with the chopped liver. And then I'd have mum's Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. And then it's a toss-up between tiramisu, and I may have had the greatest tiramisu I've ever had in a place in Streatham. There's this Italian in Streatham. Do you live in Streatham? You just looked at each other and went...
Yeah, sure. The lady who asked the question is
from Streatham. Oh, wow, really? Mm. So it's down, like, nearer to Streatham Common, and it's off. It's near, like, Sunny Hill Road or something.
Yeah.
The pizzeria, and it's, like... quite fluorescent lighting and they're all Italian and it's really good, right? The pizza's amazing, but their tiramisu, I don't even care if it's shop bought, like this shit is, I remember it so well. What's the place called, just so we can get it on the mic?
Bravi Ragazzi.
Yes. So my friend Shun, who I've written my new record with, oh, by the way, I have an album coming out.
Yes.
So she works with a producer called Dan Parry who lives in Streatham, and like, I love that my friend from California, Shun, is telling me about a place that I've grown up near, like, for the rest of my, a whole of my life. But anyway, we went with the kids before Christmas, and it was amazing. So I'd have tiramisu from there, or I'd have my mum's trifle. I'm obsessed with it. It's like, yeah, I just love it.
Fantastic. And how about you? Your last supper?
It's funny, because I do love roast dinners, so I'd always have a roast dinner. But I do, and it's quite not... I like black bread, but only the Jewish black bread that you can get in Manchester. You can't get it here, it just doesn't work. So it's like a rye sourdough bread. And I like really good cheddar cheese, you know, the bits with crunchy bits in. And tomatoes that you buy in Blackpool. Because
nice.
It's odd. I used to go to the Illuminations as a child every year. We'd be schlepped along and my head would be out the sunroof looking at the Illuminations. I don't think it's as magical now. Mm. And then when you drove back, before there was a motorway, you used to buy fresh tomatoes on the way, and the tomatoes were always delicious and hard and sweet. So a lovely cheese and tomato sandwich with black pepper on, and I really like that.
Oh, I can taste that. I can taste that. So yeah, beautifully described.
Well, I think Alex's lemon ice cream.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Well, I think it's appropriate we finish on Dr. Alex, actually.
Dr.
Yeah, because he's been a feature of the occasion as well.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's gone so quickly. You've been absolutely delightful to talk to and so generous with your memories and yourselves and your stories. Thank you to Alice as well for being there and letting us talk about you too, and to Alex. Thank you all so much for coming along this evening. Thank you to Waterstones and to everybody. But thank you, Lenny and Jesse.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.